Wow. What a statement. Inheritance. An inheritance that is imperishable. It'll never die. It'll never go away. Undefiled. It can't be made anything less than holy. And unfading. Always strong and powerful. Kept for us in heaven. An inheritance which we can inherit. Do we deserve inheritance? Inheritance is something that you usually get by being born into a family. It's something that you get because somebody else worked real hard to make a lot of money. It's something that you get because somebody invested their money well and bought property or bought stock or bought something that flourished and became greater. Sometimes inheritances turn out to be not so great and the stock withered or, you know, the property didn't produce much crops or the money that was put away was devalued over time. But not our spiritual inheritance. Our spiritual inheritance can't be defiled. It can't be devalued. It can't be not trusted. It is always there. It is always rich. It is always powerful. It is always wonderful. But how do we deal with that? Do we deal with that inheritance like these exiles that Peter is writing to? See, the people he was writing to were the people in that first century after Christ who were scattered because the Romans were looking for them. Even the Jews were looking for them. Remember Saul who became Paul? He started out being a Pharisee who wanted to kill Christians because they were not good Jews, according to his understanding at the time. And then Christ was revealed to him so that he became an apostle. Are we joyful in our inheritance of Christ's promised forgiveness, of Christ's promised salvation, of Christ's promises that his death on the cross takes away our death? Or have we become complacent in our inheritance? Have we become comfortable Christians? Have we become Sunday morning Christians and not everyday Christians? Someone called us Easter people. We should be celebrating the promise of Christ's salvation every Sunday. Every day, not just once a year. Christ died for us while we were still sinners so that we could inherit the kingdom of God. What would you do if somebody came to your door and had a big check from Publishers Clearing House and said, you just won $12 million? Would you be excited? Ooh, I'd be dancing. $12 million, wow! What would you do if somebody wrote you a certified letter and said, you need to appear at the offices of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe attorneys to receive your inheritance because your Uncle Bud, who you had forgotten about, died, and we finally found your address, and we want you to come because he left you some money. He left you some property. He left you some stock. He left you a bunch of stuff. Come to our offices and claim that. Would you be excited? I'd be excited. Wow. Dewey, Cheatham & Howe. They got money for me. Woo. Maybe not. Dewey, Cheatham & Howe doesn't sound like a very reputable law firm, does it? Those are all earthly inheritances. Those are all worldly things. We get them. We spend them. You know, they say that most people who win the lottery are bankrupt in 5 years? That's horrifying to me, to have that much money and to be able to spend so much more of it than you have that you still end up in the hole. We manage to dig ourselves bigger, deeper holes when we have more resources. The more money we have, the bigger shovel we can buy, the bigger hole we can dig. I guess that's human. But that's not God. God has put our inheritance in heaven where it cannot be defiled. God has put our inheritance in heaven where we will receive His glory, His promise, His joy, His love, regardless of how well or poorly our life goes in this world. See, the people that Peter was writing to were being killed. They were being tortured. They were being put in the Colosseum to be lion food so people could watch and enjoy it as a spectacle. They were being burned at the stake. They were being hung on crosses like Christ because they were considered to be politically subversive as far as Rome was concerned. They were dying. They were struggling. And yet their faith was growing and there were more and more of them every year because in those people who gave up their life because they refused to give in to the powers of the earth, other people saw something that they wanted. A faith that was beyond understanding. A joy that was beyond earthly pleasure. A peace that came in spite of earthly torment. Do we have that kind of power of faith? Do we step out on faith to do the unimaginable? Are we willing to put ourselves out there for our Lord's name? Or are we scared? I'm afraid that we won't have enough money. I'm afraid that we can't do that. I'm afraid there just aren't enough miracles anymore. He says forever. He says that we have the same power that His disciples did on that first day when they received the Holy Spirit. If we receive His Spirit in our hearts, we too can do those things if we do them in His name and are doing His work and His will. We have miracles all around us. There's one over there right now. We have wonders all around us. We don't see them because we're used to them. It's like being able to breathe. We don't appreciate it until we can't. We don't see air as a blessing until we don't get any. We don't see walking as a blessing until we're on crutches. We don't see the blessings of God because we're too blessed. Remember the two brothers in the story of the prodigal son? The one was overjoyed to be able to come back to his father's house and even be able to eat dinner at the table like a son. The other one had been there working on the inheritance all along. He was jealous. He was angry. He didn't get a fancy dinner to share with his friends. Well, no, but he got the whole of his father's love for all those years while he was there sharing with his father the work of the farm, of the land. We get sometimes comfortable. Sometimes the challenge of faith is to maintain our faith in spite of all our earthly blessings and remember that the true blessing is not what we have here, it's what we get there.